to invite Tony, man on the street, Sakalo, to come on up front. Yeah, you can just, like you're hanging out, wherever, yeah, just hanging out. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, what you? I'm doing well. What are you up to?
Just texting.
Oh, cool. I'm James.
Tony.
Tony, how you doing?
Good.
Tony, me and my friends are just out going for a walk and asking people how we might pray for them. How can we pray for you today?
Wow, gotta get a job.
Get a job, okay.
J-O-B.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, that'd be a blessing for sure. Yeah, let's pray for that. Guys, come on, let's gather around. Tony, is it okay if we just put our hands on your shoulder and pray for you?
Sure.
Okay, great. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Tony. Lord, thank you for this divine appointment to just get to meet this guy. And Lord, we just pray for your blessing on him in this search for a job. Lord, we pray that knowing you've got something picked out that would be perfect for him, Lord, if he's following you. So, God, we just pray that you would reveal that to him. That'd be something that helps to bring you glory and something that would just increase his joy and his praise for you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Tony, we're handing out these bracelets just as an encouragement. So just to help remind you that we stopped and prayed for you today, then God cares about you. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?
I kind of grew up in the church.
Grew up in the church? Okay. Can I give you one of these?
Sure.
Okay. Have you ever heard the gospel? Have you heard the way to salvation? Right? Okay. Now, have you personally received salvation in Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in him, turned from sin, and turned towards Christ? Have you done that? Oh, good, okay. Tony may not have, but just for sake of brevity with, you know, tonight, because we'd go through all the gospel if he hadn't, but thank you, Tony.
Oh, thank you.
But just to kind of show you guys, Tony and I have got to the blessing of going out with Revive Indiana teams and basically doing something similar to that. Just praying for opportunities, God giving opportunities. A lot of times people have not heard the gospel. And so in that case, you know, giving Tony the bracelet, he might put that on and we'd walk him through. The videos we're going to watch, they were going to show you how to do that better than I can, so we're not going to do that. But I just wanted you to kind of see a little bit of maybe how a conversation might start doing that. So thank you, brother.
That's the hardest part.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. You guys will notice you've got that insert there in your bulletin, and I am going to try to keep this really short. Like I said, most of these videos we're going to see that are part of tonight's message are 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes. I think there's one that's 10, but all of them are pretty short, so this is going to go by quickly. I just want to share a little bit about why this matters, why we share our faith. Of course, we know the Lord commands it, but he also wants us to do things out of our joy and our love for him and for others. On earth, we are, the Bible says, we're Christ's ambassadors, that we are not citizens of this world, that we're citizens of heaven. We're citizens of his kingdom, and we represent him here. I can identify with that because Kim and I got to go out of country on a mission trip together. And when we were in Northern Ireland, although we had people there that we loved and felt very close to very quickly, you know, we're not Northern Irish. We were, and while we were there, we were really representative not only of Christ, but of the U.S. I mean, we're Americans. So we were kind of representing America in a different land. And the people there could tell a difference, you know, by the way we speak and the way we dress. And they just know, you know, the side of the road we want to drive on, you know, they could tell these guys are not from Northern Ireland. And in the same way, in this world, we're different as Christians because we're actually citizens of another world as Christians. We're citizens of Christ's kingdom, living in this place as his ambassadors. And I think that part of our existence here really as ambassadors is to live out our identity from that other place. It's to live out our identity in Christ as citizens, really truly citizens of heaven, of his kingdom here. And so I have to think, well, what's heaven like? What do people do in heaven? What's that about? Well, we know they're holy, right? I mean, there's not a lot of sinning going on. But I think, you know, on an emotional basis, I just want to take it away from the behavioral stuff for a minute and just talk about the emotions, because I want to get to the heart of it. I think in heaven there's a lot of rejoicing. I think in heaven there's celebrating and there is like massive parties going on and just outburst of joy going on, not just when we get there, because I'm sure they'll be glad to see us, but they're having a great time now without us. But what are they rejoicing over? Why are they having celebrations? Why are these big parties busting out in heaven? Why all this this good time? Jesus is a great answer. Yes, that's right. You took my punchline. No, that's okay. No, that's okay. Well, I think a lot of times, though, the way that we kind of think and the way we act as the church is we think it's over our good deeds. We think that we do enough cool, good stuff with Go For Sunday or whatever it may be, that we do enough kind things and cry. And those are, you know, that's great. But hey, man, they're celebrating. They're really, they're having a big pat on the back party up there for us. But, you know, the scripture says that really our righteous things and our goodness is really not of that much value. That's what Christ is doing through us to bring himself glory that's really worth celebrating. It's Jesus that it's about. But the Bible says that it specifically talks about a particular celebration in heaven. And those celebrations over people who are wicked and vile and in rebellion, who are blaspheming, adulterous, and murderers, when they turn from that and they turn to the cross, it's over those folks and us when we first came to Christ. It's over folks who, like all of us, are lost and get found. And when we get found, the Bible tells us, man, there are shouts going on. There is a massive celebration when one sinner gets saved in heaven. And the reason is Jesus. It displays Jesus' goodness and his mercy and his power and his love. And although he works through us, which is awesome that he lets us have anything, any part in it at all, that he would use us to verbally share him, it's him. It's him. And that's why the celebration happens. It's him. So they're not having a party over good people. They're having a party over a sinner who repents and receives salvation and eternal life. That's why they're having a party. In Luke 15, 1 through 7, I just want to share that with you briefly. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them, which in that culture was incredibly significant. That really was a very clear sign of acceptance and really embracing people, that you would have a meal with them. So there's all these nice religious folks, and they're really confused by what Jesus is doing. Jesus is hanging out and eating with these sinners and spending time with them. And these aren't the church folks. These are the folks who are far from God. These are folks who want nothing to do with God. And it confuses these Pharisees. So in verse 3 and 4 it says, so Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And I think it's good to know that, you know, as much as Jesus does love the 99 that are found, that he very much, maybe the 99 that are in the pews, you know, we might think of it that way, he really cares about the one that's lost. He cares about the one who is not part of the fellowship, who's out there somewhere, who is supposed to be part of his flock, but they need to get found for that to happen. Verses 5 and 6 says, and when he found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and his neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. And Jesus is very explicit here about the point that he wants them to get in verse 7. In In the same way, there is more joy, okay? There's a bigger celebration going on in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and turns to God than over 99 others who are seemingly righteous and haven't strayed away. And I don't want us to miss the point. Jesus cares about the 99. He loves them. He does. And he cares for them. He nurtures them and protects them. And he doesn't leave them uncared for. There are under-shepherds, I'm sure, who are with the 99, okay? But he goes in pursuit of the one because he loves that one lost sheep. I think it's a mistake, unfortunately, it's a tendency of a lot of churches in our culture to really care about the 99 you got. To spend so much time trying to keep the 99 you got happy so they don't leave that you don't really pay much attention to the one out there that's lost, that maybe is kind of a dirty sheep that's covered with mud, and what are the other sheep going to think if you bring them in anyway? But Jesus loves the lost sheep. And there's another 99 and one that I want to tell you about. I heard a recent study. Cool how God just brings us the info that we need to hear when we need to hear it. So this week, I was listening to Christian radio, and I heard this Barna research, and they said that in American Christianity, as far as Christians who regularly share the gospel with others, 1 out of 100. 1 out of 100 American Christians regularly are looking for opportunities to tell people about Jesus Christ. And there's another statistic that I want to share with you, and I want to do this not to beat anybody up. This is to encourage us to be intentional to do the right thing. But the other statistic I want to share is that in America, a recent survey they did, they asked Christians, how many of you feel like you are growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ? How many of you feel like you're maturing? A year ago till now, how many of you have matured? 10%. 90% of American Christians said, I feel stagnant and I feel like I'm not growing. In order to grow, I can tell you a few things that it takes. It takes humility. You've got to have a humble spirit to grow. You have to be teachable. You have to have a teachable spirit. And it takes intentionality. You don't grow by accident. You have to be intentional. You know, those who knock are the ones who the door is open to, right? Those who ask are the ones who receive. You have to be intentional. What we're going to learn about this evening hopefully is going to challenge us a little bit and change us a little bit if we're humble and teachable and intentional in that. So I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then we're going to just get into the videos. So, Father, I just thank you for bringing us together, Lord. I thank you that you have a purpose in it. Lord, just help us each to be focused on what you have to say to us through these videos, Lord. I know from seeing them the great value that they bring to us, God, and that it is a gift from you. So help us to see that with humility and with teachable hearts, Lord, and help us to learn how we can be intentional and equipped to share you with others. In Jesus' name, amen. So you might get your pen ready and your insert.
All right, hey, Kyle Lance Martin here with Time to Revive, and I am super excited that you are here wanting to learn more on how you can effectively share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, those people that you're looking to share the gospel to, who are they and what do they look like? Well, some of them could be your mom. Maybe it's your dad, your aunt, your uncle. Maybe it's your neighbor. It could be a coworker, or maybe even a random stranger. But my prayer is for this video series of equipping you to share the gospel is that we just make it simple. Look, we made this way too hard, but I believe that Jesus said, whoever you talk to, you're going to encounter one of four types of people. Based on Luke 8, there's the four types of soils. Well, we believe that's a reflection of the hearts that we are going to talk to. And so just for this very first video, I want to introduce you to the hard heart, which is really equivalent to the hard soil. And I want to do that based on how Jesus did. How did Jesus encounter the hard heart? And then what did he do with it as he talked to these people? Well, found in Matthew 13, specifically in verse 53, what I'm going to do is I'm going to unpack four simple words. You're going to hear this in every single video. Love, listen, discern, and respond. four words that I believe will help us show how Jesus did ministry when talking to people. Now in verse 53, it says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, he came to his hometown, and he began teaching them in their synagogue. What I love about how Jesus shows the very first word, love, he shows love by going out. He went to his hometown, he knew where the people were, he went to the synagogue, and he made himself available. Half the battle of sharing the gospel is making yourself available. But I really believe you won't make yourself available unless you have love for the lost. Jesus is pretty clear. Go to your hometown. Go out and show the love of Christ. But how do people respond? What are they going to say? Well, that's not up to us, but we need to listen. That's the second word. We need to listen to what they're saying. At the end of verse 54, it says, so they were astonished, the neighbors, the family, the friends, whoever's in his hometown, and they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother called Mary and brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? In other words, they began to question. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all of these things? The neighbors began to chatter. How many times have you ever been in a neighborhood and everybody's talking about, oh, that person over there? That's exactly what's happening. But Jesus began to listen to their doubts. Look, you can't show them love and then just automatically just hammer them with the word of God. No, no, no. You need to listen to where they're at in life at that moment. Because as you begin to listen to their doubts, the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will begin to speak to you about, well, how do I discern the situation? Love, listen, discern. And I love this. As Jesus discerned the situation, he very confidently and yet in love said, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. He knew already that this wasn't working. That these people, yes, check this out, with the hard hearts, he knew already by discerning this, he already knew that they are hardened and that they were Satan's target. It takes discernment and it takes slowing down. Don't be in a rush. These people that you're talking to about the gospel, they're not a project. They're a person with a heart, and in this case, they have a hardened heart. So Jesus began to discern. He said, hey, I'm not going to be respected in here. So what did he do? Well, he shows his response. And he very simply, it says in verse 58, it says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. He didn't do anything. And what I love about this is, it says he moved on. So many times when you're getting rejected by the gospel or rejected by people who are listening to the gospel, you want to just keep forcing it and forcing it. Jesus just said, whoa, maybe this isn't the time for them. Move on. It's only going to come by love, listen, discern, and respond. But remember, there might be hard hearts out there. You can't force it. All you can do is show them the love of Jesus Christ. And our job is to be the messengers, to be the deliverers of the good news. And maybe, instead of finding the hard heart, you'll find another.
Okay, that's the first video. Any questions as far as the content on that? I mean, you know.
First, you got to get them lost before they even know they can get saved.
Well, they're going to speak to that. I think they'll speak to that in the video. So let's go ahead and check out the second video. So go ahead and turn to that second page.
Hi, this is Lauren Burkett. I'm a trainer with Time to Revive. You notice the rocks I've got in my hand here. I'm going to be talking about the rocky soil, or the rocky heart that Jesus talks about in his parable of the four soils. The hard soil, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, and the fertile soil. Today we're going to be talking about rocky soil, and we're going to be using the model that we think Jesus uses when he's communicating with people, that he interacts with and how he is led to minister to them and talk to them. And that is love, listen, discern, and respond. And the scripture we're going to use is from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. You'll know it's the story of the 10 lepers. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's passing through Galilee and Samaria, and he sees 10 leprous men. Because of his immediate love for them, he goes up to them. And that's a lesson to us, that no matter who we encounter, who the Holy Spirit leads us to, we want to be available to minister to them, just as Jesus was to these 10 lepers, who are not the most inviting type of people that we would want to engage in, but he was led to them by God, his Holy Father. Secondly, he listened to them. He knew what their needs were, and he listened to their needs. Their needs were that they were leprous, and they called out to him, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. And he did, and he healed them in an amazing way. The next part of the story is a little unfriendly to the situation because they all left and 9 of them never came back to give glory and praise and thanks to Jesus Christ. One of them came back, a foreigner, and Jesus immediately recognized what took place. So we need to discern what is going on in our conversations with individuals. Recognize the obvious and notice that there's a lack of consistency, the rocky heart. The rocky heart is one that initially is engaged in their commitment to Jesus Christ, it then begins to waver, wavering like a boat, unstable and unsteady. And it's not somebody that goes on and becomes generally a disciple of Jesus Christ. And fourthly, because of the one individual that came back and gave glory and gave praise to him, he said, stand up and go. You can be giving praise to Jesus Christ. So we have that authority through God, our Holy Father, and the Holy Spirit to speak with authority. So folks, don't be discouraged when you run into the rocky hearts, the rocky soil. That is going to happen. But you know what? Jesus Christ knew that also. He knew that when he was sowing the seed, when he was communicating the good news of who he was, Jesus Christ, he knew that there would be all four types of hearts. But he knew that many would follow him, that that would be the fertile ground. That would be the ground that would go on and make disciples of Jesus Christ.
All right, hey, Kyle Lance Martin here with Time to Revive. And I want to continue this training, this equipping of what is it like to encounter somebody. Now, who's that somebody? Well, it could be the hard heart, the hard soil. It could be the rocky heart, the one that says yes to Jesus and then they just wither and die. Or it could be what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the thorny soil, the things that cover up the seed that's there, hopefully, but you can't see it. I'm going to talk about this story. Now, we know eventually there's another type of soil. It's the fertile soil, the good soil. But just for today, we're going to talk about the story of the thorny soil, specifically from Mark 10, 17 through 31. It's about the rich young ruler who kind of wants the both ends. And I think that speaks to a lot of people. Now, how do we encounter people? As you've heard already, we talk about the four words: love, listen, discern, and I think you know the fourth one by now, respond. Love, listen, discern, and respond. So how does Jesus show love to the rich young ruler? Well, we know that in Mark 10, specifically verse 17, it says, as he was setting out on a journey. In other words, Jesus was on a roll. He was making himself available. He was going out. Somebody came to him. You know, just case in point, it's really hard sometimes to share the gospel when you're just holed up into your house. Jesus was out. And it says in verse 21, we know that he had a compassion for him. He had a love for him because as he's looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him. Now, as you prepare to go share the gospel, ask the Lord first and foremost, please give me a heart of compassion. Jesus had a heart of compassion. But as you have this heart, then you got to just kind of slow down, and it's not about your agenda. It's about where they're at, which means you need to listen and listen to their questions. In 17, at the very end of that verse, the rich young ruler says, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Man, this is a question. You're like, man, that's a softball. It sets you up. Can I have one of those questions? Please, Jesus does. So how would we handle that question? If somebody says, hey, what do I need to do to receive eternal life? And Jesus, you know, before I get into the next phase of discernment, we need to understand he was ready for all types of questions. He knew the word. He is the word. But for us, we need to be in the word of God. We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit, because when we do, 1 Peter 3:15 will come to fruition. We'll be ready to give a defense. And so just like Jesus, he was ready. We need to be ready. We need to be ready with his answer. In verse 19, he says, well, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And the rich young ruler, the young man, he said to him, teacher, I've kept all of these things from my youth up. And Jesus knew that when he set it up. But Jesus said, looking at him, remember, and he felt this compassion. He says, one thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And after these words, the young man, he was saddened. And he went away grieving. For he was one who owned much property. There was no way that the guy that he was talking to was ready to give it up. And I believe that understood, that came out because Jesus was ready to give a question. He was ready to respond, I should say, to the questions. And he knew he wasn't ready to come in. Folks, when you talk to people on the streets, don't force it. And don't say, hey, if you just say Jesus, you'll be saved. No, you can't force it. If they're not ready for commitment, don't do it. Because the third component in this discernment factor with this thorny and trashy soil, it's all about lip service sometimes. People out on the streets in their neighborhoods, they might say something to make it sound good, but it's not there because everything is crowded around them and they're not ready to give up their lifestyle. Isaiah 29:13 says, hey, a lot of people honor me with their lip service. But man, it's got to be about a heart condition. It ain't about religion. It's about a relationship. And Jesus understood that with the rich young ruler. And so it started off as a love and listen and then discerning. But then Jesus made a transition. He's talking to his disciples. He's got this thorn issue in mind. And he makes it very clear, and I think we need to do the same. When we're talking to people about sharing the gospel out on the streets and in our workplace, you need to make the cost clear. To follow Jesus means you got to give up everything. And that's exactly what he says to the disciples. They said to him, how hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were amazed at his words, and Jesus answered again, amen, and again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. In other words, yeah, with people, it's impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. When you give it all up, when you make the cost clear, look, you got to give everything up, your life will be changed. But until then, it's going to be like this. You're not going to see the fruit and the seed of faith. You're just going to see everything else. And I'll tell you, when we talk to people, this isn't about a quick conversion. This isn't about a, hey, if you say Jesus, I can check it off. No, this is about following Jesus with everything you have. And when you encounter the thorny sword people, you need to be careful. You need to be careful that you're not just doing something so it makes you feel good. No, you need to do something where the rich young rulers will understand, I need to give it all. You know, there's the hard soils. There's the rocky soils, and then there's the thorny soils. But just maybe, you know, there's another type of soil. There's another type of heart. It's a good soil. Just maybe we'll encounter one of those one time when we go out and share the gospel.
Let's go ahead and turn to session four. Good soil. There are questions.
Gary Bone, Time to Revive trainer, and we're here continuing on teaching about the soils. And we've covered the hard soil, and we've covered the rocky soil, and we've covered the thorny soil, which represents the hearts that people you will encounter as you're out sharing the gospel. And today, I get the privilege of teaching a very fun lesson on the good soil, the fertile soil. And it comes out of one of my favorite passages in all the New Testament. One of the most interesting dialogues Jesus has with anyone, and it's out of John 4, the woman at the well, as you probably know the story. So Jesus is going from Judea to Galilee, and it said he had to go to Samaria. Jesus did not have to go to Samaria. He went out of his way. And that's our first point. He wants to love people. He went out of his way to look for this woman, and he encountered this woman at the well. And one thing we find out about love is you need to see people. You need to see them and show compassion to them. That's how you show love. So then as he encounters this woman, it's a Samaritan woman. which is very unusual in that culture because, first of all, men did not encounter, even have dealings with Samaritans, much less a woman. So Jesus comes up to the woman and says, "Give me a drink," which is really interesting. It's hot, he's tired, but he went out of his way to love. And so here he's starting to listen. He starts with a question, starts talking to her, and then he's building a relationship with the woman. And she says, "How is it you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink?" And Jesus responds, "If you knew the gift I had for you, you would ask me for a drink." And she says, "Where would you get this water? The well is deep and you have nothing to draw with." And he says that everyone who drinks this water will thirst, but the water I give them, they'll never thirst again. And then he goes on to do something really amazing. He has a word of knowledge for her. He says, "Go call your husband." And she says, "I have no husband." And then she says, "I perceive that you're a prophet." And then, of course, we find this all the time. She tries to change the subject. She talks about, "Well, we worship here, you Jews worship there in Jerusalem." And Jesus tries to bring it back, or he does bring it back. And he said, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming where it doesn't matter where you worship. The thing is, you must worship in spirit and truth." So then at this point, this is where Jesus discerns. Remember our words, love, listen, discern? She says, "I know the Messiah is coming." She is looking for a Messiah. She's looking for Jesus. And he says probably one of the most chilling statements in all the New Testament, "I am he." And so at this point, he discerns that she's ready. She has an open heart. She's soft and teachable. She's ready to listen. And that's what we need to do. We need to watch for their response. That's how we discern. And then that moves us on to the final point, which is we respond. And we see how the woman responded. She went back to her city. She left her pot there. She left something behind. Remember we talked about the thorny soil of being crowded? She left behind what was preventing her from being with Jesus, and she ran and told everyone. She went and gathered the fruit. And I guess I would just say in the modern terms, what we would do instead of having the woman run, we would say, what is keeping you from receiving Jesus, or what is keeping you from receiving that gift? So we just really want to reiterate that you need to love, you need to listen, you need to discern, and then you need to respond.
That's our first four videos. The fifth one is a little different than the other four, which is engaging others with the gospel. And this is the final video on the final sheet on number five there.
They are ready to listen.
Ready to listen. Observe their response. You've got to really have a quiet spirit yourself. Yeah, and you're intentional in that you're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal this to you and trusting that he's going to. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I can tell you they may talk about it in the final video, but part of the love, part of that first step is that you're in prayer before you ever, that you take time to love them by praying for them. So any questions before we go to session five? Yeah? Okay. Let's do session five.
Well, I get the first part.
Kyle Lance Martin here with Time to Revive. And, you know, a lot of people ask, how do I do this? How do I go share the gospel with my neighbor, a stranger, a coworker? Well, slow down, okay? The Holy Spirit is in you. If you have faith in Jesus Christ because of his death, burial, and resurrection, you have the Holy Spirit. And you can trust that God is going to lead us and direct us to the right people, and he's going to give us the words. Remember, he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So when we approach a person, the very first thing that we say is, how can I pray for you? Hey, there's a group of us, or it's just myself, and I felt led to come over here and ask you, how can I pray for you? Listen to them. Remember, you want to love them and listen. And then you're very simply going to actually, guess what? You're going to pray for them. Now, sometimes I actually ask people, can I put my hand on your shoulder? Do you mind if I touch your arm? Because that little touch goes a long, long ways when you're praying with somebody. Now, when you're done praying, this is what we're going to ask each one of you to do. If you've been equipped with the Bible and the wristbands, we say, hey, can I give you one of these wristbands to remember that we prayed for you? And most people will be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll take this. And they kind of look at it. And I just say, hey, there's five colors on there. What do you notice what's on there? And a lot of people will be like, well, it's Ephesians, or somebody might say it's ROM. And just by looking at a wristband, it'll show you very quickly, whether because we prayed with them or not, it'll show you their worldview or their biblical worldview of the scriptures. And so I say, if I can explain this to you, and they say yes, and what I do is I just pull out a Bible. I have a Bible that matches the wristband. It's got the color tabs on here. Man, it's so simple. I just want to encourage you, you can't mess this up. It starts with the yellow, and what you do is you say, can you put your thumb on number one on the yellow, and you open it up. And when they open it up, you just say, do you mind reading? Now some people today, they literally can't read. So you don't want to embarrass them. So what you say is, hey, are you able to see this? It might be some fine print. And, oh yeah, I can read this. Then you have them read it out loud.
All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Hebrews 4 says that the Word of God is alive and active. We want the Word of God to pierce their hearts, not by us preaching to them, but by them reading the Word. And so we say, okay, it says, every one of us have sinned. So what does the yellow mean? It means sin. None of us are going to reach God's status. None of us.
Okay, so you got that part right. You know that we all sin. So the yellow part, you agree, right? Everybody sins.
Yes.
Okay,
go to the mainly why I start the conversation with him, it's going to be forgiven.
That's right.
And so that means that we are all sinners. So we talk about yellow means sin. Then you say, can you go to the black? You put your thumb on two. And this is what we do. It's very laid back. It's casual. Like, if you're awkward and you're nervous, guess what? It'll be awkward and nervous and anxious for them too. They'll be like, let's get out of here. And don't sound like a script. Remember, we've given you four words: love, listen, discern, and respond. Every person's going to be different. When you get to the black, Romans 6:23, have them read it out loud.
We're going to do 6:23.
Yep, good.
So how
it's highlighted.
Yep.
Right here, okay.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now they're going to read the word wages. A lot of people don't know necessarily what wages mean. So explain, it's what you earn. Like when you work, you get paid. A wage of sin is death.
So because we sin, there's a consequence.
Right.
Okay.
Everybody. And according to this, the scripture would say because of sin, we all die. Physically die.
What you earn because of our sin, it doesn't seem fair, but it's true. We're all going to physically die. And we will be apart from God. Sin leads to death. And you go to the red. Have them open to Romans 5:8.
God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
So again, you just slow down. Don't use big Christian terms. Don't big these theological things. Just keep it simple.
So whose blood?
Christ.
And what did he do?
He died for our sins.
That's right. And I love this because God loves us so much. So that while we are still sinning, it says he came and he died for us. In other words, a lot of times people think, well, I got to clean up my act before I can go to church. I got to clean up my act before I can come to God. This says, while we're still sinning, that's when Christ died for us, like right then and there.
To keep it really simple so that anybody that's walking by, if they hear the truth, they'll want to embrace it. Let's go to the next in the blue. Ephesians 2:8-9. You see how this flows? You just very casually say, can you read this? You go to the next one. Okay, now I know you're like, Kyle, are you really going to do this? Yes. Because we need to take them through the Word of God. Most people don't know where to start. That's what this is. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says,
for the grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast.
And most society thinks in order to get to God, it's about a religion, it's about rules, it's about what I can do to be good. But the Bible says, no, it's not of yourselves.
He says, through faith, if you believe that that gift was Christ dying for your sins, he says you're saved. And you did nothing to earn it.
Yeah.
Again, very casually, very laid back. Some conversations could take 5 minutes. Some could take 30 minutes. Some could take days. But the point is to be intentional as you're talking to people to take them through the Word of God.
specifically the gospel.
So sin leads to death, but because of his love, if we have faith in him, the Bible says in the green, Romans 10, 9 and 10, you turn to the green.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is our Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. If the heart of one believes, doesn't have righteousness, with the mouth of one confesses, doesn't have salvation.
It's not just a talking thing, it's a believing thing. If you believe it and say it, the Bible says you are saved.
If you confess with your mouth that you know you're saved and believe, then you're saved.
That's right.
You don't got to worry about what happened in the past. Once you confess in your mouth and believe, then it's done.
And then the key is then you start living like him.
Yes.
If you really had faith in Christ, then you'd have a desire. And here's what I love about your name, Jehovah Increases, is that if you truly lived according to your name, Christ would become more and more real in your life every day.
This is what we do. When we talk to people, whether it's family, friends, strangers, or neighbors, we walk them through the Word of God. And I really believe that when the church begins to share the same message of Jesus Christ, that's when the communities begin to change. So now what? They're like, oh yeah, I agree with all of that. What do you do now? Okay, Lord, just slow down. And you just ask him a very simple question.
What's keeping you from saying yes to Jesus?
I don't believe in what people say. I believe what I feel. You know what I mean?
Okay, so now let me ask you this. The words that you read, or what you read, not what I said?
No. I mean,
true?
It makes sense to me.
Okay.
So when something makes sense to me, make me feel comfortable, make me feel happy, make me feel many things, I believe it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did that do that for you?
Definitely.
Give them an opportunity to take that step of faith and say yes. But you got to ask a question to help them. There are these little immature babies, right? And they need to know how to grow. Help them. Say, I want to trust in Jesus. It's not a force. It's not a coercion. It's just, do you want this? And some will say yes. In fact, Scripture says 1 out of 4 will say yes. The good soil. We're praying for the good soil. And what I love is that when they say yes, you say, well, now what do I got to do? Do I pray with them? Did they pray? Well, sometimes we have people say, well, why don't you just pray and tell the Lord what just happened? And so they'll close their eyes and they'll actually pray,
Señor,
Jesus.
Te pido gracias porque hoy estoy aquí escuchando tu palabra y creo en ti.
But their heart is, yes, Jesus, you are my Lord. So how do you help them grow in Christ? How do you help them grow that Jesus is your Savior? Well, we take them to the orange because we believe we are to make disciples. And you're going to take them and you're going to start working and walking through new in Christ. What does it mean to go from the old to the new? How do you grow in Christ? And then after you've done that, how do you share Christ? See, I believe that our job is to make disciples, to help people grow, to go from this little seedling of faith to an incredible tree that's displaying fruit. That's our job, to help them. But what I love is it's God's work that causes the growth. It's God's work that causes a person to say yes. We are simply the messengers. You might get rejected 4 or 5 times, but you might not. And our job is to keep casting the seeds until somebody says yes to Jesus. I'm pretty excited that you're willing to do this because our prayer is that this isn't for an event. This isn't for a weekend deal. That this is a lifestyle. Our role is to equip the saints to go tell people about Jesus. And I'm glad you're on the journey.
Just honestly, I mean, how many of you feel like that'd make you pretty nervous or scared to do that, what he was doing with people in the street? Okay, I can tell you, and I think Tony would probably confirm this, that when you first start doing that, it is a little unnerving, which is a really good reason to go with somebody who has experience. You know, in Scripture, you see over and over again examples of a disciple bringing along somebody that they're discipling in order to do the work of a disciple and to share Christ. And so, you know, Paul did that. We see his example in there. So it's good to, I mean, you don't have to. You can, you know, really the Holy Spirit is all you need, but it can help settle your nerves if you want somebody to go with you to talk to people. But the cool thing is that the more that you, it's like exercising your muscles in the gym. If you have not been doing a workout, it's going to make you a little sore. It's going to be a little hard to do. But the more you do it, the more those muscles get strengthened, and you're like, wow, I can do this. I can lift so much more than I can. Your faith builds. It grows. And so the more you see God show up as you trust him in situations like this, your faith just grows and grows to where it's really not that scary anymore. You just do it. Tony, is it that scary to go to Courtside anymore and stand out there and pray with people and share the gospel? Not at all. But the first time, probably a little nervous. Yeah. Sometimes. Usually, I mean, my own experience has been that most of the time you're going to basically get one of those four soils. There occasionally you'll run into, and this is very rare, very, very rare, and I think probably doesn't happen much until you have done it a lot. I've run into situations where there's kind of a demonic presence there, and you'll get some hate from somebody because they know you represent Jesus. Usually you know that that's coming before you even have a word with them. You just know it. And usually they'll still steer clear of you. They don't want anything to do with you. They don't want to hear anything. So that happens. Yeah. I can tell you, though, that Scripture's clear. Sharing the gospel is God's will for you. No doubt about it. No matter who you are, that is God's will for you. Absolutely. You can pray about it. Right, right. And it's not always in your timing. You know, maybe it's in a week, maybe it's in a month, whatever. You know, maybe. But you're intentional to humble yourself before him, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with the confidence to do it and provide you the opportunity, and then you look for it because you believe he's going to. And you're intentional. I mean, you're trying to, who is it, Lord? Who is it? Because I know they're here, you know. And because God wants you to do it, he's not going to take you as a rookie, and I can't point to a scripture, but I'm just saying in general, I believe this just because knowing Christ, he's not going to throw you into a den of lions probably the first time you try to share the gospel with somebody in a new way, because it's his will that you do it. And so most of the time, you're going to have people, I'd say 90% of the time, at least the how can I pray for you part, people are like, well, sure. Almost everybody's going to let you pray for them, even if they don't want to hear the whole gospel message or whatever. Sometimes the Lord sent them to encourage me. You know, we got to be humble enough to receive that. I've had people where, how can I pray for you today? And they're like, how can I pray for you? And I was like, amen. Yeah, and I just share whatever's on my heart, and they're praying for me. Praise the Lord. That's, you know, it's not all about our agenda or us checking something off. No, sometimes you know.
Fruit that show that some people claim to be Christians, but their actions don't really show yeah. that.
And that's where we want to be really prayerful and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us. And sometimes he just kind of lets us take a step of faith and talk to that person anyway, and we're really not quite sure how they're going to respond. But you need to have that. They said it really well in the video. Don't force it. If it's an open door, if the Lord is speaking to them, if he's gone before you and they will listen, okay. But you need to have the discernment to know this is not for you to force anything. If the Holy Spirit's not working in their heart for them to hear you, let it go. This is not their time. Just move on. And that's okay. And I want to, real quick, this. MyHopeKokomo.org on the website. I do not have this there yet, but I know that we've just gone through all this, and this is all new for a lot of you. There is another video that's about 6 or 7 minutes from Time to Revive, and it's a whiteboard video, kind of like the chalkboard video that we had for Here's Hope a long time ago. It is a great, great, great short little 6 or 7 minute recap of basically this, what we've been shown this evening. And they present it in such a clear, great way with this, but I just, for time's sake, we're not going to watch it here tonight. Go on the website, though. Hopefully within the next few days, this will be on the Here's Hope website, myhopekokomo.org, so you can refresh, you can go over, you can look at this. Sure, yeah, or maybe even start a service or end a service with that for you guys to see. But you do. I just want you to know that we're going to have this on the website, so go there on your mobile phone or your iPad or whatever, and it'll be there. So if you're thinking, man, I really feel like the Lord's telling me to go. I've been praying for this person, this coworker, whomever, to talk to them. I really have been encouragement to me to go through one more time, and so you can go there and watch that whiteboard video. And it does a really excellent job of just very simply, it basically is the last video of how to do it, of how to engage people, but it's just even more concise. It's really, really a good video. So that's on the website. I know that we've ran over what I kind of told you what we would quite a bit, so I want to respect your time.